from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further. And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strong,
like
and Leslie M. Scott Jones. Now here's David and Leslie.
Hello, Charlottesville! It is Sunday! It is December!
And it is going
finally
to be 60 degrees today, which is
what?
Weird, yes.
60?
Yeah, and it's going to snow next week.
Okay, Mother Nature is drunk. Like,
Mother Nature is high off that Philip Morris gas, yo.
Yo, stop.
Like, I don't know what season it is. Just do what you do, baby.
60.
Do what you do.
It's 60.
And this is Homegrown, your show about local art here in the new and burgeoning Charlottesville. Oh!
Oh.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
I really am.
Okay.
I really am. I really am.
I'm glad
really
you're excited.
Am. I am David Von Strong, a.k.a. The Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a.
Black Frodo.
Little man, hairy feet, trying to get through the ugly darkness. And with me as always is the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Oh, thank you, David. So, how was your week?
It was a week.
A week, okay.
Yeah. It was a week. It was in fact a week. But yeah, it was eventless. Oh. There will be more events next week, so I was happy that this week was just kind of like low key.
I get it. I got a lot of calls from Nia. You know.
Yeah, you know.
Upset.
Tutelage.
She's like, he won't stop crying.
What do I do? I would be calling my mom like every hour on the hour, like texting. Like,
and of course, what I did was like, all right, put me on speaker. This. Put the phone next to his head. I was like, Matthias. And he was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he shut up right away.
And we live in the day and age where you can actually like look at the child and like put him up to the phone. And
right.
Be like, you know, you can have that relationship. I was watching the Portal commercials on the footballs.
Man,
channels. And we live in a revolutionary time where you can like reach out to your family and like still exchange with them and still be a part of them.
I get to take care of him Monday.
That's awesome.
I know.
They come out up here, you're going.
I'm going down there.
Okay.
But I can't wait. I get to squeeze.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Oh,
man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's so cute.
So, just Homegrown viewers, just prepare for a year of morning banter where Leslie talks about her grandchild.
Yes.
And I talk about my eventless life. And with some art sprinkled in between. Arts Holiday Special coming at you soon.
Emceeing.
Yeah.
Who's emceeing that?
I don't know.
I think I know him.
Some pompous jerk.
I don't know.
He's got big hair.
He's got beautiful soft
hair. I ain't doing jack.
Clinton Johnson, executive producer of Homegrown HNIC on the boards. How you doing, Clinton?
I'm well, baby.
All right. That's good to hear. Let's move on. Well, as you see, we have changed the format a little. We're playing the guests of Homegrown.
We're sitting on the opposite side of the table.
Because both of our guests are call-ins. And we are like, I don't feel like twisting the thing back and forth all
That's
the live
what
long
I'm
day.
So Did we she just say I'm listening to you in the bathroom?
No, this afternoon.
Yeah. Sorry, messages are coming through.
I be getting them texts with them emojis, brothers. You know how it is. You know when you be doing that radio life. Nah, let's move on. Both of our guests are call-ins. We will try to show their lovely faces as much as possible. But for right now, you're stuck with us. Our first guest is James Yates. Our first guests are James Yates. And Beryl Sola. Yes. Beryl. Yes.
Beryl.
Am I correct?
Yes.
Beryl.
In pronunciations?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. How y'all doing?
Great. How are y'all?
Beautiful.
Beautiful on this lovely rainy Sunday morning.
Yeah. Rainy, foggy, steamy.
Not for long. Not for long.
Right? It's crazy. It's crazy out there. I don't even know what to say. James Yates is the curator of Let There Be Light, and Beryl Sola is the chair of visual and performing arts at PVCC. Let There Be Light will be going down at PVCC December 7th. Now, to our viewers, what is Let There Be Light?
It
is, I'm James here. It is
what up, James?
Artists and performers
coming together
around the Dickinson Building at PVCC at night, 6 to 9 p.m.
Which is a beautiful building. I just saw As You Like It on Friday night. It's a beautiful, beautiful theater, and I'm jealous of your lavaliers. Continue.
So we'll be outside in the dark, where people are invited to wander in the dark with flashlights.
What?
Go from one art installation to another that incorporates light.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then when they get tired, they come in for some free hot chocolate or hot cider and yummy banana bread, and then they go back out and look at art again.
Or to, like, you know, calm down from the, you know, horrors of, you know, the woodland.
From the magic.
Midnight.
Calm down from the magic, people.
That sounds so intriguing and frightening at the same time. Just being a person of myself that's afraid of the dark at all times.
So this isn't the first year that you guys have done this, right?
Oh, God, no.
So how long have you been doing it?
James, how long have we been doing this?
This is our 12th year.
What?
No way!
Why am I just hearing about it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's wonderful.
I was going to say, Clinton's like, why are you just hearing about it? Like, because I'm out of the loop, Clinton.
Because he lives under a little rock.
I do.
In the Shire.
Filled with video games and depression. Who came up? All right, so it's been 12 years. Who initially came up with this idea? And talk about the evolution of Let There Be Light from then to now.
Oh, years ago, I was very unhappy with how the whole winter season is handled in our culture, and was looking for an alternative to what we were doing. And finally, I heard about this a Zen teacher of mine used to practice in Hawaii, and they had a summer event in a park where there was just artists doing light focused pieces, and they and so I thought, well, that would be perfect as a replacement for all the cultural hullabaloo that we have in December.
Mm-hmm.
specifically focusing on my mind just went blank.
No, it's okay. I'm gonna save you. I'm gonna do my improv thing.
Okay.
No, I was thinking about, you were talking about the hullabaloo of December. It's actually funny because I believe that December is one of the most lit up night times of the month. So this like contrasted element of kind of, I don't want to say, because it's not natural light. There's flashlights and stuff, but
right.
It's this makeshift idea of light guiding you rather than this boisterous,
yeah,
like gaudy display of lights garishly beaming in the night.
Right.
Talk about that talk about the contrast of elements.
I will say I have no problem with garish displays of light.
Neither do I. They're amazing. I've seen so many recently.
But it is, you know, to your point, it is true that theoretically, it should be a contemplative time of year, and it's typically not. And this is a way to sort of pivot, not to use political language, but to pivot away from the way we've been experiencing this time of year to something a little deeper and richer and more interesting and more engaging. And that's what I think James has done over the past 12 years, and he's built this program up so that it's become a kind of an annual tradition for the Charlottesville area. And at PVCC, you know, we're all about outreach and community, so we're very happy for art to be the focus of that.
Yeah, I was wondering if after all this time, by this time, I was wondering how the relationships with your artists have changed, because I imagine that by this time, there are people who are actually planning for it and really thinking, next year I'm going to do this for Let There Be Light.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, is this time for Let There Be Light again? I've got a great idea.
Yes.
And we often, I often say to artists, the main criteria is to amaze us.
Mm-hmm. Now, James, you yourself are a local artist, yes?
Thank you. Say again?
This question is for James. You are a local artist currently, yes? I mean, always. I guess you're always an artist. Is that true? You
always
never stop being an artist.
Yeah, it's mostly local or regional artists.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is your field of... Go ahead.
There's one artist in particular, to your previous question, who's been with us, Circe Strauss, has been with us since the first exhibition.
No?
Third or fourth.
Yeah, something like that.
But, you know, still good. Still, you know, 8 years and running. And
but she ain't no OG. James knows she ain't no OG. He had to correct you right there. He's like, wait a minute. Hold on. No, I'm sorry. Continue.
She's just been, every year, she's the showstopper. Every year, she's the one who brings incredible visuals to the event.
So what kind of pieces are these exactly? What exactly, if I'm going to show up with my Maglite 5000 cop special,
oh my Lord.
What am I going to see at the Let There Be Light, and what do I expect so I don't hit somebody in the head with said flashlight when I'm scared in the dark? I'm just saying. I'm scared of the dark,
okay,
is what I'm saying.
Well, we're all afraid of the dark, and we should be. I'm just going to say that.
I'm a black man in America.
You don't have to come in at 6 o'clock, actually. You can
come in any time between 6 and 9.
Okay.
We open at 6, but you can bring your mag light, or we'll provide you with a flashlight.
Okay.
Come into the main building, the Dickinson Building.
Or you can become decorated.
In light,
ooh,
that's right.
I think I want to be decorated
about
in light.
That. Is it going to be like? Is it going to be like EDM Fest? Is it going to be like dudes in like flashlight costumes? Like what goes? What is allowed and what isn't allowed at the Let There Be Light?
Oh my goodness!
Like can you be like, whoa, bro?
Please give David limitations because he will take it to the max.
Do not give me any rules because I will break them.
Yeah,
out of spite.
Don't be on fire.
Yeah, that's the only.
I can follow that rule.
Yeah, no, don't set yourself on fire.
I am afraid of the dark, but I'm more afraid of being on fire.
Okay, good.
Immolation.
Yeah, good. That's healthy. So you come in anytime between 6 to 9. You can come into the Dickinson Building. We'll give you a flashlight and a map. You roam around the grounds outside the Dickinson Building. We light up the path. But other than that, there are no big industrial lights the way there usually are in the parking lots.
Hmm.
So you don't actually have to have a flashlight, but it is helpful. It is helpful. But we do light the path to the artist. And then, of course, the art is light-based.
I hear
so
path,
you see that
and I hear
well.
Map, and I automatically think destination or, like, I need to find some, or, like, hunt, I need to find something. is there anything
you're
that
so
I need
male.
To... yeah. I'm,
you're
it,
so
it
male.
May, it may be something about that. But yeah. Is it like that?
You don't have to use a map.
Okay.
This is... strictly optional. I personally never use the map.
Okay.
I roam around and see what I see, and then I go in and drink hot chocolate and eat banana bread.
Which is the goal.
So it's certainly
which is the absolute goal.
So how do you find artists to do this? Do you just send out a call, or like Clinton said, do people just come back every year? Like how if a visual artist had an idea for it, how would they get in touch with you? How would they get into the show?
If they're interested in the show, they can go to info@lettherebelightpbcc.com and email me and just say I'm interested. And I base it on any specific proposal, but the quality of their work. And they'll send me images and examples of their work.
Cool.
I have some people. I've had. Physicists, musicians, a full range. It's just not visual artists.
Cool.
This year, one of my former students is showing, Ashton Bowman, who's wonderful.
Awesome.
But she's just a young one.
But, all right, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about bringing youth into the Let There Be Light whole legacy of 12 years and what we plan on seeing or what y'all plan on featuring in the future, maybe, possibly. But we got to pay some bills. We got to do this commercial. This is Homegrown. Drop!
I'm Paige Naylor, local Charlottesville musician, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
15 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. We are talking with James Yates and Beryl Sola, talking about Let There Be Light going down at PVCC. This December 7th is a day that will live an illumination. See what I did there?
A little
history humor for you history majors. So you're talking about new featured artists at Let There Be Light. Young folks, talk about them, and then talk about the impression of youth with this new installment of Let There Be Light.
The impression of youth.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, he doesn't. That's why she asked.
How are kids impressed, and what did they take away from it? And what type of youthful exuberance do you see in terms of like engagement and excitement about Let There Be Light?
Well,
do the kids like it? Is what I'm saying.
Surprise.
In big words.
This was the big surprise when we first did it 12 years ago. We expected the usual art crowd about, you know, maybe 200 people just to show up. We didn't know what to expect. There was over 500 people and mostly families.
Wow.
And the kids loved it. And it was
of course. Of course.
And running around in the dark.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
That's right up kid alley.
So one thing.
And the cool thing, it's because of the nature of it, it brings out all the fun and all the excitement and all the joy. It's just wonderful. And the neat thing, there's so many wonderful parts of it, but when I'm roaming around at night, when I break away from serving hot chocolate and I'm looking at the exhibits, I see people from all walks of my life, including children, including my grandkids, my grandson, which I'm happy to talk about on and on as long as you'd like to. The kids go crazy.
You have every right to.
They're not tearing the place down, but they are enjoying it and just soaking up the magic.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's always struck me is that it's got such a great hook. I mean, it's such a fabulous idea, because we have artists on the show and we talk about the medium, the media that they prefer to work in. But the idea of having art projects that are based around light. I mean, light is one of the fundamental, qualities. I mean, it's one of the fundamental things that we deal with as human beings. And so to work with that as.
And I think it's one of the primary like elements of like, and not just like elements of life, but like elements of art structure. Like I think of the fireplace that cave people used to roam around, and I think of like light beaming through streams of forestry or like holes in the night sky. Like it's always just been beautiful to film. Like visualize and like stare at
or film.
I think you're right. I think it is elemental and it's fundamental, and that's what draws people to it. And then you add to that community, which we're hungry for, we're all so hungry for, and which we have in spades in Charlottesville. And, you know, the odd energy of being outside with a flashlight looking for art, that's such a crazy idea. Jason and I talk about this every year, how we're so surprised the school hasn't said, you know what? You guys are nuts. We're not doing this. You know, we just can't believe they let us do it.
All right, so we're going to take all your kids.
And they like it.
We're going to wait till it's dark.
There's some
forest. Where are you going? Where are you going?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, we're going around looking for art, people.
There's some PVCC lawyer who's locked up in a closet every year.
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. That's what's happening.
And what's the nice aspect is you run into people in the dark, and there's this whole different sense of connection that you wouldn't have if it was every day.
Oh, it's different. That's usually
with this event where you've got people in the night wandering around, going to the light, gathered together, looking at pieces of light. Looking at being dazzled and being wonderful, because I've been there and there's some pieces that are just, most of the pieces are just like, they're amazing. They're imaginative. They're magical. They're wonderful. You've really created, it seems to me, this almost primal experience
which when I think of it, goes all the way back to, you know, small wandering communities gathering around fires at the end of the at the end of the evening, right?
Well, there's so much mythology that centers around light, including, you know, the North Star and the Star of Bethlehem, and so much that you know, religion or not, we gravitate to the materiality of the experience, and the materiality is light in the dark. Yeah. That's what it is.
One of the when I went blank earlier, it was I was saying it was the event is to focus on the arrival of the winter solstice and the fact that we're going into the dark.
Yeah.
The darkest night, and the light is throughout all different cultures has been having some kind of light celebration as we go into this very dark time to just give us hope and vision through this difficult space.
Mm-hmm. And we have certainly need hope and vision
at
these
this
days.
Point,
winter is coming.
Winter is here, please.
Yeah, we get the Senate. Winter is still
here.
In effect.
Mm-hmm. So what age are the artists that are doing the show this year? Like, what are the age ranges? You mentioned that one of them is a former student of yours, so I'm guessing, like, early to mid-20s. Is that, like, your youngest person? And how old is your oldest artist?
I would say the youngest is probably early 20s, and the oldest is...
Maybe me.
James is... Or me. We're both pretty damn old.
No numbers. It's fine.
Pretty damn old.
That's right.
I think you.
Do you guys have pieces in the show this year?
Oh, say again.
Do you guys have pieces in the show this year?
Yes, we do. We both have pieces in the show.
Awesome.
Oh, so talk about what it's like to create a piece for Let There Be Light. How long. Have you been thinking about it? Do you think about it since the previous year or even longer?
Oh, absolutely. All the time I'm thinking about what I could do, and my parameters, I think of them as design parameters. Like, I'm very much involved with the running of the show, so I can't do something that requires my presence during the show because I can't. I'm doing, you know, I'm pouring hot chocolate. I'm busy.
Right.
So one of my concerns is it has to be really meaningful. It has to be beautiful because I like beauty. I care about beauty and I want that to be a part. And it has to be independent and something I can set up earlier and not worry about until after the show's over. So, you know, given those restraints, it's hard to come up with a piece. One year I did a photo op as the Virgin Mary, the Virgin of Guadalupe. So it was just a big life-size cutout of the Virgin Mary surrounded with roses and lights, and you popped your head in there, and people took photos of you. And that was one of my very favorite pieces I've ever done. And then this year, it's a piece that's kind of personal and general called Heal, which is, you know, something I'm thinking about all the time. You know, how do we heal? How do we come back? How do we resolve? How do we get better? And so that's my piece. And now I'm going to let James answer that.
The piece this year, it's always different every year as to what I come up with or the process. And I think it's different for everybody. So the piece I'm doing is actually came from a dream. In which I'm walking around in the dark, and somebody says to me, "Create an autobiography." And I said, "I had no idea what to do. What do you mean? What do you mean?" And then I saw a box of matches, and I just picked up the box of matches and struck a match, and blew it out, and then struck another match and blew it out, and that was my autobiography.
That's awesome.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, it's about mine as well. Like many failed attempts, many lights.
Why can't I get this thing started?
And still I rise. The matchbook prevails.
Can you tell us some of the artists that are going to be featured this year?
we already talked about Ashton and Circe. There's also Bologna. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Bologna Attaboy and West Wing's performance, which is called Now Now. And it's an interactive project where people are contributing to an ongoing developing sound loop and an interactive light installation. So I haven't seen it yet. And so we'll see.
Yeah, I know
that
Bologna.
That sounds crazy.
I know Bologna. She does amazing stuff.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, we've seen her too, and we both liked her very much.
And Circe's piece this year is called Tunnel Vision, and it's going to be a 30-foot kaleidoscopic tunnel that you walk through.
What?
Very psychedelic.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing.
Okay, David, we have to go.
Yeah, I'm saying, I love
you
Let There Be Light.
We have to go. That's going to be awesome.
I think I'm sold.
Yeah, we're going.
All right.
We're going.
Yeah,
all
right. It's going to be good.
We gotta go. We gotta make plans. thank you so much. Thank you so much, James Yates.
All right.
Sparrow Sola.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Come back for next Let There Be Light.
Yes.
And the one after that. And the one after that. And the one after that. And the one after that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. We're going to be so freaking old.
That's okay. We're with you.
Yeah.
We're with you.
We are right with you.
Keep you above and not below. That's the idea.
Right.
That's the idea.
Right.
All right. We got to keep it moving. Thank you so much. All right.
Y'all too. Bye-bye.
All right. Whoa.
You all right?
Yes. Yes. I'm looking forward
to that psychedelic tunnel.
I'm thinking about kaleidoscope. That's what I'm thinking about.
Right? I want to do that.
Do we got music for artistic events? Are we going to do it?
Here we go.
Uh-oh. Oh. Yeah.
What are you...
Oh, it started off sexy and then
turn
it got creepy. Yeah.
Turn that up in my... I can do
some ska.
I can barely hear that.
The artistic events happened in this week. All right, currently running December 16th, the best Christmas pageant ever. I think that's a little presumptuous. At Four County Players. I'm just saying, that's a little... Come
ever?
On. Really?
Ever?
That's the name of the play. That's the name of the play,
no,
David.
When I lived in New York City, I would walk by and they would be like, the best bagel ever. I was like, come on, bro. Seriously? All right, currently running through December 15th, the comedy Seven Mammoths Wonder New England at Live Arts Theater. Also currently running
David,
December... What?
David, where is the
I got
best...
it right.
Where is the best Christmas pageant ever playing?
Four County Players.
Thank you.
Okay.
See what you did there. He's my boss. December 9th, Edward Albee's The Goat, or Who is Sylvia? At Guerrilla Theater Productions. Also currently rummaging through the theaters of Charlottesville, or Stanton, actually.
Okay.
December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center is coming to the end of its summer fall season, so you better get your stuff together, people. Get your tickets. Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma. George Etheridge's The Man of Mode, or Sir Fopling Flutter.
Oh, Sir Fopling Flutter.
And Richard III. And As You Like It,
Richard III,
by Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
Get your tickets. On the last chance, a funk pop adaptation of Shakespeare's As You Like It at the V. Earl Dickinson Building at PVCC.
Everyone wants to do things as we like it. I'm.
You need to watch or listen to last week's episode
yes.
with Shelley Cole talking about it.
And Shelley, I hope your foot gets better.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it
Poor
on Friday. I saw it on Friday, and she was a soldier, man. She came
she
out.
Was, oh
she
my
came
God.
Out with the cane, like Ronald Isley.
No, not Ronald Isley.
She was killing it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was going to sing Between the Sheets.
See, you know, y'all think artists are like wimpy or whatever.
Exactly.
We play hurt.
This is labor.
We play
this
hurt.
This is labor.
Right.
Being creative does not make you non-laborious.
That's right.
Get it right, people.
Woo.
Don't even get me started.
All right,
last chance.
All right.
Jewel Fest number 2, a celebration of arts and creativity at Mobius Ceramic in Woolen Hills. God, I hope I got that right. December the 4th, Tongues of Flame, a noontime dance concert. I thought that was the next Cypher battle at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. You
don't
know how we do, Charlottesville Hip Hop.
Do not give fellow man ideas, because you know that's what
Tongues
it's going to be.
Flame, yo, that... That's fire, yo. That title. December 6th, UVA MFA's reading series continues with students Helena Chung and Susan Eckel. Eckel?
Echo. I'm sorry, Susie. Read from their works at New Dominion Bookshop. I'ma get it. Names are hard.
Oh my God.
I've been called David Strothen for
what's the next
30 something years. December 7th through December 29th. It's First Friday. What? Check out these exhibits by local artists. Uzu and Joku back in the house. Out of the Shadows at New City Arts Welcome Gallery. She's amazing. Uncle Drosselmeyer's Other Gifts at Chroma Projects, featuring works by Megan Marlett, Beatrix Ust, Barbara Lopst, Deborah Rogers, Sean Samuel, and Aggie Zed. I'm so sorry if I got any of those wrong.
I was just waiting for that next to last.
These days, a second round of enhanced photography by Chelsea Hoyt at Top Knot Studio. Check it out at Top Knot. Summer Days, an exhibit of oil paintings by Blake Hurt at New Dominion Bookshop. The annual Holidays Members Show at McGuffey Art Center. Everybody going to be putting on everything, so that's going to be hot. Oil paintings by UVA artist/alum Lachlan. Jeez. See, I wish I knew that Scottish stuff. I'm sorry, Lachlan.
Oh, my.
Davis in University Reflections at the Charlottesville Writer House. Piedmont Virginia Community College's annual faculty exhibition featuring Possibilities, a presentation by Ceramic Works by Tom Clarkson. Please, all you guys and girls and people, come on to the show so I can get your names right. Please, and then we'll feature your stuff.
Keep going.
All right, we're going to keep going. December the 8th, UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Heinz guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin Art pizzas at her Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour. Oh, and for your music options this week...
Today, Cicely Holly Hayes plays classical and holiday tunes at Batesville Market at 1 p.m., South Canal Street at Bold Rock Cidery at 1 p.m., holiday potluck and student showcase at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Nelson County Community Orchestra performs a holiday jubilee program at the Rockfish Valley Community Center Pavilion tonight. Charlottesville Jazz Society holiday party featuring Dex Weaver Trio at Fellini's. The annual Messiah sing-on at Old Cowell Hall on the 4th. On the 5th, LG and Friends at the Whiskey Jar. Timeless at Dirty Nelly's. On the 6th, Mima presents Band Together teaching artist Evan Sproul, Emily Julia Kresge, Paige Naylor, Jordan
Anna,
Perry,
Adam Nemet,
and Jeff Gregson perform alongside their students to benefit Mima and Elk Hill. What's up, Devin? How you doing? Face Made for Radio at the Whiskey Jar, Coda at Dornanelli's, UVA Klezmer Ensemble's Fall Concert at Old Cabell Hall. Valentin Vila features UVA music majors playing pop and rock covers at the Tin Musel Irish Pub. That's all on the 6th. On the 7th, a harmonica throwdown with harmonicists Wave Milner, John Whitlow, and Gary Green.
Ooh, and then John Popper comes from the top rafters to win the game! There is no better.
We are Star Children's Ugly Sweater Party at the Jefferson Theater. Eli Cook at Dirty Nelly's. Fulton Avenue at the X Park. Faster Than Walking at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. The Chickenhead Blues Band at Fellini's. On the 8th, Anlar at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. The Pollux at Batesville Market. Former guest Diane Cook at the Twisted Branch Tea Bazaar. Choose Your Own Adventure with the ATM Unit and Feel Free at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Luchadora at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, all on the 8th. Oh,
wow.
My God, that's a lot of stuff. Okay.
Wow.
Every Sunday, Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Time Music. Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Maddie Metcalf at the Bebedero. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. The ATM Unit at Rapture. Songwriter Night. The local. That's all on Monday, people. That's all Monday. Okay. All right. Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night at Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebadero, baby. The Ragged Bound String Band at the Whiskey Jar and the Traditional Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, Open Mic Night at Pro Ray Not a Farm Brewery.
Boom!
Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Boom!
Jazz Collective No. 9 at Fellini's No. 9.
Boom!
Bachata Fusion at the X Park. 502 Fossils at the Shabin. And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Wow.
Every Thursday, Humberto Sales and Vincent Zorn are dueling maestros at the Bebedero. And... every Thursday.
Sean Durst!
at Miller's.
Because every Thursday, you just gotta come down to Dearth.
All right.
Let's pay some bills. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You were listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
37 minutes past the hour. Just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC.
And you know what? I'm just tired of asking.
See,
where
now
you've
get
been.
The face.
I'm tired of asking where
now
you've
you
been.
The face.
Like, there's this whole disrespect that happens when you come
She's
in
She's not
late.
Even going to ask anymore. She's going to sit in the chair.
I, you know,
She's
going to
sit in the chair.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
No, I can't show up on time. That's fine. No, that's fine.
I'm so happy to introduce our next guest. I've missed this person for so very long. Zarling, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I love your voice. I miss your voice.
David,
I miss your sense.
Do I need to leave you two alone for a minute?
Ellie Zarling is in the house. He is an improv comedian extraordinaire. She is. I apologize. I was just actually about to ask you about pronouns.
Oh, I use she, her, goddess pronouns.
Okay. Goddess will be performing.
Goddess. I like that. Goddess. Fellow goddess.
She is a wonderful person. She will be doing the trans and non-binary improv workshop, followed by the Wisconsin Laugh Trip, her one-person show at the Ix Art Park on December 6th. Ellie, how you been?
I know. I'm doing okay. I just realized that show's this week. I should probably get my stuff together.
Yeah, I should get my stuff together, too, if whoever invited me... I'm going to do it with.
Part of the Wisconsin Laugh Trip is that it changes every time I do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the week of the show, I'm kind of super nervous about what I'm going to do and worried, but I feel that makes it a better show.
Absolutely.
We'll just wing it.
So can I jump in really quickly? So the Wisconsin Laugh Trip, so what is that? I've read of it as being described as that such a bad construction. So I've read it described as a one person improv show.
Yeah. So basically, I love to travel. I've driven cross country this year, and I've met a lot of people, and I like to create characters based on that. And so it's kind of like a look at this country through my Wisconsin roots and. Kind of making fun of what I've seen and finding joy in what I've seen. And I feel like it's a big, great country. And too often we kind of section ourselves off from other parts of it.
Now talk about that, Ellie, because I've noticed that talking with people, exclusively from the Midwest, there is this romanticism of Americana. And a lack of willingness to tear away from it or to have anything that challenges those ideals and those traits. Talk about that.
Yeah, I feel like especially in the times we live in, that we've kind of sectioned ourselves off into our tribes, and maybe we don't. You're born in a place and you never leave it. And I feel that everyone deserves a chance to at least be themselves, I guess. Like, I want to meet new people and I want them to meet me, especially as a trans person. Like, I've done shows where I ask the audience, like, how many people know a trans person in their life? And, like, sometimes it's 50, 60% don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so... that kind of meeting other people is kind of like exposing each other to new ideas. And I often joke about, like, the internet is supposed to be this thing that opens us up to all the knowledge of the world, and we've really used it to just close ourselves in our own little rooms that agree with what we think, and we kind of have to open ourselves to that. And myself, too. I'm not saying that, like, everyone has to meet me. It's important for me to meet other people, too, and see what their lives are like.
Absolutely.
And, I feel like everyone's experience in America is the American experience, and you have to, like, everyone's story is important. Everyone's experience is important, and you can't really understand the majority of this country and what's going on if you're just concerned about what your thing is.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you're not, it seems to me that if you're not part of the majority group, then meeting new people can be fraught with concern. Can be fraught with, not just concern, but potential danger. Because, I know that I walk into a particular place, and if I meet someone, I meet a Caucasian American, my first immediate thought is look for clues to see whether or not they're a racist. Just out of reflex, right? Just out of self-defense. And I imagine that anyone who's coming from a marginalized group.
Because that's our America.
You're right.
Anyone coming from a marginalized group has got the same thing. So hear you, I don't disagree with what you've said, but it just makes me say that just sounds really brave.
Well, I mean, thanks, I guess. I mean, I appreciate that, but I totally understand that. I mean, I guess I've just gotten to the age where, I know that stuff's in the back of my mind, and I just can't let it bother me, Like, it's more important for me to just go out there and do it than to worry about it, And, I'm not trying to dismiss anyone else's fears. Like, I totally understand that. And I have people tell me that, like, when I tell them, I'm like, hey, I'm taking a road trip down to Alabama. I'm going to be performing in North Carolina. They're like, really be careful. I'm like, I understand that, but I can't let that stop me from being it. Mm. And it's also a thing where everyone has different skill sets and what they want to do.
Yeah.
So I feel like.
So I think all three of us have the same question in our head right now is, okay, so when you perform in Alabama and North Carolina and those places that are traditionally known as being threatening for trans people, especially, what is the reaction?
Well, it's funny. When I'm in Alabama, I've never done a show down there, but I teach a camp for kids, like a comedy/leadership camp. And the first time I went down there, I was very nervous because I wasn't out yet. I was gender nonconforming, but for the most part, I went around as a male.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this workshop, it was a week long. And when I left, the lady who ran the camp was, she said to me, you're probably the first white man that these kids have had a positive experience with.
Wow.
That wasn't an athlete, like a coach.
Right.
And I just realized that part of it is also fighting through that fear and reaching out and, I just had a conversation with this yesterday, as a white person, to go into a situation like that, you have to understand, you were saying, this distrust. Like, you can't go down and be like, I'm here to help, and then be offended when there's, a feeling out period.
Right, right.
And so kind of understanding that's where I'm going to, and just being like, when I was a kid, I wish someone had told me that comedy was a career option, or that these things are all possible. Mm-hmm. Or if I'd have met a trans person who told me all these weird things you're hiding are completely fine. I mean, they're not weird, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As a 12-year-old, you don't understand it.
So,
and now that I'm transitioning, all these kids love me and are totally supportive and are are happy for me, and it's so great. And so now, not only have I kind of been with these kids and helped them grow as leaders and as comics, but now I'm kind of their first exposure to a trans person, and there's they've got this connection, and kind of erasing that initial fear or trepidation you might have if you just saw someone on the street or just watched the news and heard what you hear on the news about trans people.
Yeah.
So after having,
I totally don't want to dismiss. I totally understand that. I don't expect anyone to do what I'm doing. Just be like, I'm going to go into a honky tonk bar in Alabama and show them that everyone's cool.
There you go.
you've just brought back that scene from the Blues Brothers to my head.
Right.
why don't you and I learn rawhide and we'll just tour the
bar. Rawhide.
Oh my goodness. So after having that experience. And that wonderful acceptance from these kids, do you now feel like that has been woven into everything else you do as kind of like a, not necessarily a mantra, but something that you feel called to do with your art?
Oh, man. Like, I hate talking like that, but I do. I feel like I've kind of been struggling with, like, what do I really want to do with this? And so doing this camp with these kids has been great. And kind of realizing my own journey with improv and comedy and how that came, how that kind of got me out of my, out of the box I'd put myself in, and to learn to express myself and to learn to be myself. And so part of the reason I do this workshop is that I want other trans and non-binary kids or people to have that experience and be like, let's have a space where we can all express ourselves and play around with characters and who we are, and just do that. Like, that's what helped me. Like, I'd go on stage and I'd get to act out what I was going through, and everyone just thought I was acting.
Yeah.
You know? So it gave me a way to express myself and be myself without having to come out to everyone and being like, hey guys, I think I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So, we're going to continue with that. We're going to talk about, the show itself and, what people expect to see. And, here to now. Let's do a drop. Space and Bills.
Okay. Right.
This is Homegrown. Drop.
Hello, this is Brian Weimer of the Ix Art Park, and you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC.
49 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're missing a hell of a Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
That's fine. I'll just sit here judging you as you enter late.
Ellie Zarling, improv comedian, is hosting the Trans and Non-Binary Improv Workshop, followed by a Wisconsin Laugh Trip, her one-person show at the Ix Art Park, December 6th. Now, Ellie, I gotta talk to you about improv, because little do the listeners know that you were the one to bring me into Bent Theater back in 07. Kind of teach me the roots about improv.
It's your fault.
And yeah, kind so of created the monster.
You're the one we need to yell
that
at.
We see before. Okay. But I want to talk to you about why I haven't done improv really since 2016 and switch more towards like acting and activism and things of that nature, because I've always felt like improv has kind of been a straight white guy's world. And
what?
There has
no.
been, and there are, and a lot of scenes are framed around basic straight white guy life, and I was kind of tired of being a feature of tokenism and a feature of just nodding to the fact of everything that straight white men are doing are okay is
yes.
okay and is able to pass. So I kind of took a back step, and I was happy that you kind of brought this like improv workshop to my attention, because talk about breaking that barrier of not making improv so straight and so white and so male.
Right. So it's funny that you mentioned that. I don't know if you guys know this. One of the most successful shows in Chicago was Improvised Shakespeare.
Hmm.
And it's been running for quite some time. And then this summer, there was a big announcement that they're allowing women to audition. Like, they've been going this whole time, and they don't even allow them to audition.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in other news, so, water is wet.
It just blows my mind. Like,
yeah.
I've never seen it. Obviously, I've never been trapped. But it's like, it just blows my mind that that was just allowed to exist. And you always heard, like, improvised Shakespeare, it's so great. But no one ever said it's like, oh yeah, it's men only.
Yeah, it's like, exclusionary and chauvinist as hell.
In your community.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Yeah, but I often say I kind of like, I Trojan horsed it. I started off as projecting as a white male when I started, and improv helped me grow. But I've been running into a lot of people who want to talk about this problem, and I might actually be I'm working on a workshop called, we'll clean it up. It's called F the Effers. And it's basically, how do we, I'm sick of like going to, people and being like, hey, you need to make this a space where we can feel accepted and perform. And rather I want to turn it around and be like, I'm here. And if you try to do that on me, I'm going to make you as uncomfortable as you're making me.
Yes.
I'm going to turn this on you. I'm not going to be passive about it. Like, a lot of times, like, women will get a lot of things where it's like, there's this guy, and he's always making our scenes a date, and he always wants sex with me. And, like, how do I follow yes and with improv, but not end up, like, in a sexual situation with them? And they're like, well, this guy comes in. He's like, hey, babe, you're pretty hot. I want a hand job or something. I'm like, well, instead of, you don't have to give him a hand job. The yes is, yes, you're a creepy pervert.
Mm-hmm.
And the and is, I don't want anything to do with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a thing. It's like, how do you get out of that conditioned response? A lot of times it's like, if someone comes in and says something to you, like, what would you normally say? And that's where the comedy comes from, not saying what everyone would say in that situation. And so, yeah, like, that person's being a creep, and we're going to make you as uncomfortable as you're making us. And you're either going to quit or you're going to change. And
right.
I'm just done being like, hey, guys, let's treat women with respect. Hey, let's not make the gay guy a gay guy in every scene that he does.
Right.
Hey, let's not always bring up that the old person is old. Hey, let's not always make the black guy do black things, you know? And so we're not asking that anymore. We're going to be like, if you're going to bring that up, all right, I'm going to shut you down, and I'm going to embarrass you. You know, if you're on stage and they always want to make you, they want to make you rap or something, just make yourself the boss, you know?
Yeah.
You know, be like, hey, why don't you sing a song like you always do? Be like, you know what? If you ask me that one more time, you're fired.
You know? There you go.
Put them in their place.
So,
and now you've put the onus on them to yes and your power move.
Right. And really, it's not only making them grow as a person, but it's also making them grow as a performer.
Yeah. Because then you have to think about how to navigate that situation.
Right. Because then, like, they have to navigate it on the fly. Yeah.
I can't negate that premise. I mean, yeah. I love it. I love all of it. And I'm really looking forward.
It's so hard to get improvisers to grow as performers, because you can always just, like, you know, say something about your genitals and they'll get a laugh.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like giving a treat to a dog. They know how to, you know, every time I raise my paw up, you're going to give me a treat. So every time I say something about my junk, you're going to give me the laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I knew an improv performer once who, every time he went dry, which was a lot, he would just say, pie. And he would do that every show. Every show.
I was at a show once where this performer, they were having an awful show, and they just said the F word out of, like, in a weird context, got a laugh. And then she said it, like, every 5 minutes the rest of the show. And it was just like, you're trying too hard.
Yeah. Or you're not trying at all.
You're not trying at all.
Yeah.
So whom do you hope to see for this workshop? Whom is it geared toward?
The workshop is just for trans and non-binary people. And that is, like I said, I don't want, it's a free introductory workshop. I don't want to have to deal with, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions. I just want it to be just for them. I want them to feel like this is for us, and I can come here, and there's not going to be judgment, and there's not going to be people, staring at me or, like, wondering what I'm about. Everyone's just here. And with the hope that if they do enjoy it, that they can continue, or that maybe next time I come by, they just do the workshop again because it's a fun time, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please come back to Charlottesville. Please keep doing stuff, because I miss you. And thank you for everything that you've done for me and for this community and for Richmond and for everybody, and keep going. But we got to wrap up. I'm sorry. You going to come back?
Oh, no. I could talk for 2 hours about this.
I know you can talk for 2 hours. We might have a 2-hour show with just you on it. We might have to do it. All right.
Yeah.
I love you, Ellie.
I love you, too.
Man, take it easy.
You, too.
All right.
Bye.
Peace. All right. Leslie Sweet-Culerant, right now.
All right. So there's a quote by Viola Davis that's been going around. Her quote is, I'm dark, I'm 53, I'm in my natural hair, I'm in bed with Liam Neeson, and he's not my slave owner. I'm not a prostitute. We simply are a couple in love. I've never seen it before. Okay, so I have so many problems with this quote. One, we have seen leading women in relationships with white men on screen before. Halle Berry, Whoopi Goldberg, like, I mean, it's happened before. You're not the first one. Okay, Vi?
Second, why is this the epitome? Why is this the thing that we're all striving for a talented black actress to be on screen in a relationship with a white man? Why is that the thing we're going for? Like, that's the thing that's going to set us back, not the thing that's going to propel us forward. And the fact that you chose to highlight the fact that, oh, this is so great, I'm having an on-screen romance with this white guy, instead of, oh, I don't know, promoting having parts where you show a loving and wonderful relationship with a black man, that's really problematic for me. Really problematic for me. And you're making it really problematic for other black actresses who are trying to get those parts and create those parts in an established field that doesn't want that to happen. Just have a problem with this entire situation. And I want people to stop praising her for this particular quote, because it not only sets back black women as artists, but it sets back all of black artistry. Okay, that's the weekly rant.
And that's Homegrown. We love you all. Thank you so much. Get out of here. Peace. And I just wanna be
close to you. You make me. This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guests, James Yates and Beryl Sola, and Ellie Zarling. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine lisping law firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson & Burke, legal services that wrap around you like a thong. Remember to keep your dial on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.